Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scan be used to determine whether a person is inclined towards criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on OrionTalkRadio.com. You can tune in here every Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And share us with your friends and family, or even your enemies. Anyways, we were going to talk about this zombie walk and the Quebec Charter hearing, where a woman who was concerned, who stumbled upon the middle of this zombie walk, was freaked out, thinking it was a protest, which it is not. It's just a bunch of people dressed up like zombies that walk around in October for no apparent reason at all, other than they think it's fun. It is not political. It's not a protest. It's just a bunch of people walking around like zombies trying to have a good time.
Yeah, the march part, though, it's where it seems like it's like a protest, right? But it's not. It's in that sense, it is like a religious thing almost, because it's not really. Why are you doing it?
So this lady's confused, and she wants to use this to bring up, you know, how they shouldn't be able to wear masks and stuff in a public protest. Meanwhile, these people aren't protesters. None of these people have signs or picket signs. They're just dressed like zombies, and it usually occurs in October around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, in that sense, that's where I get scared that they're going to ban Halloween, which they've already started doing at the school. So it's like, it's not like, when we were kids, I guess, when Halloween was encouraged. Now it's like the opposite. But then, and parts of it that are encouraged are the demonic side will always be encouraged, I guess.
Yeah, you know, okay, yeah, that's the reason why they do it anyways, to show the other side of themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember going down Yonge Street there, and during Halloween, there's a lot of strange people around. I saw a guy dressed up as the Pope sitting on the back seat of a convertible car going down the road waving at everybody. And everybody thought that was pretty cool, seeing the Pope driving down Yonge Street.
But that was a part of the zombie march, or that was, he was leading the march, or what?
No, he's just part of the whole thing, right?
Leading the hordes of hell, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, for sure. I thought it was a real Pope, though.
Because these zombies are, they appear as like a human, but then as if they had been, like, you know, dead, and they've been rotting and stuff. It's like, it's actually a serious thing if you've got like some kind of post-traumatic stress, or, you know, seen some disturbing things. To see this, like, you know, as like an entertainment thing is where it gets hard for some people. You know, that's where I can see where the woman's disturbed. But the whole Quebec Charter thing, I don't like the whole issue, because it ties in with one of the New World Order agendas, which is like to end all religions, or to combine all religions into one, you know. But it's like you're going to ban religious symbolism, but then what actually is a religious symbol? What defines that? And then when you think about it, why does the Quebec government care so much, you know, about like if a Muslim woman's got a veil on, or, you know, a face covering, thing covering her face, you know, when like they can't even get like a mayor in Montreal that's not corrupt. You know, they've had like four mayors in Montreal or something in the past 3 years. Like, it's like they're all corrupt and resigning and stuff. It's like there's so much corruption and so many other important issues. You know, why do they, why do they really care so much about this Charter of Values?
But I think the zombie march is part of the religious, freedom movement. You can do almost anything you want, but then again, on the other side, you can't put Ten Commandments in anywhere. They take that all down and stuff like that. So, you're right. This zombie movement is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and this is what we're going to be following. This is the new world order, one world religion.
Yeah, this is something I think about, because it is a real agenda of the new world order. And that's where, I don't say I have a religion, but I don't believe in the whole that it would be good if there was no religions, just because that actually is a new world order plan, is to have, no religion, or to have, the state as a religion, or the media is going to be the religion, And then that's I think people should be allowed to believe what they want, or believe, freedom of belief is, one of the things that people should have. And part of that should be, freedom of religion. So and this Charter of Values thing is like a...
Well, yeah. I mean, I look at this whole zombie march thing as the majority of these people that go to these are just... people who are into movies are into there's a whole zombie counterculture of people who are into the zombie movies. They think it's cool. It's not a religious thing, or it's not a protest thing. It's not political. It's just, it happens around Halloween and they're going out to try to have some fun. And the fact that this is being brought up at a Quebec charter hearing is completely absurd. It is. It's like idiocracy now. Oh, and here at the government, they're talking about it's zombies. Ah. It's like a bad episode of South Park or something. And it's worse than that, because the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA have been doing training drills for zombie apocalypses and the Center for Disease Control. I'm sure the Quebec government has also done some work on that end, and so has the Vancouver BC Health Department. Has been doing preparation for zombie apocalypse. And it just seems absurd to me. Unless they're really actually working on a zombie virus. Which,
to get more people into being zombies, I guess, huh?
Yeah, become real zombies.
Real zombies, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but from what I can tell, these zombie marches have been around a while. And from the people that I know, some people that have been to them. These are just average. They're not into politics. I mean, we've even tried to talk to some of them during the marches. When we're downtown trying to hand out DVDs. And these people are not interested in politics or current events or what's really going on. They're just trying to have a fun day or a fun afternoon. I mean, yeah, you might be some of them that may be a little on the darker side. But I think for the most part, these are just they're movie heads. They like
most of them walk through. A few of them got into arguments with the Christian street preachers down at Young and Dundas, I remember.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But that's because they're being called out, for promoting the demonic side of things. That is where it gets scary when we have freedom of religion and freedom of expression and stuff, is that people are going to express, evil things or things, you don't like. But still, if they're not, attacking people, then it's still...
The zombie marches, I'll give it that. There might be a propaganda element to it, because it is promoting a culture of death.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the people involved in it that go to these marches are looking at it that way. I think they're looking at it like, oh, I like the zombie movies. They're cool. Yeah, it'd be fun. Let's go run around, pretend we're zombies. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're looking at it from that aspect. So they may that's probably why they get offended when they get singled out, because they're just hey, we're just trying to have some fun here.
Yeah.
They don't look at it like they're trying to be evil or demonic, but it is promoting a culture of death. And, I think it is good to illustrate that. And I can understand why the woman gets freaked out, but I just thought it was interesting. Why is a Quebec charter hearing talking about zombies?
Yeah, well, because the whole thing, it's a religious, the Quebec Charter is actually about banning religious symbolism. They don't want that to be seen in public. And then, so they wanted you to do it in private, but there actually couldn't really be a zombie march in private because that's not, you know, where you're going to march around the room.
Symbolism is a zombie march.
Yeah. So it's a symbolic thing, and, yeah, I could see where people are just seeing it as an entertainment thing. The scary part, though, is, you know, when you think about, you know, the idea of raising the dead, I guess, even though that is, you know, that was one of Jesus's miracles in the Christian religion.
Yeah.
Well, being able to raise the dead, but I don't think they're really described as zombies.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah, because I've gone to cemeteries and I don't see them hanging out there having a barbecue or anything like that, picnic. out there doing that. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, you'd hope not, but then that's where the whole occult stuff gets. That gets to be some of the most sketchiest research you can do in the whole.
So
truth
Mark,
research, I guess.
Mark is back with us. Mark, what is your take on the Quebec charter hearing, the Quebec government talking about the zombie marches and it freaking people out? Should is there zombie marches like at the top of politics in Quebec? Is that like the what needs to be fixed?
Oh, if these gay pride parades are that big of a deal, sure. Why not? You should, you know, you know, those are top stories, you know, top events. So why not the zombie marches?
Yeah, I think we all should have
the difference. You're like, just promoting, you know.
I think we lost Mark there again. But
so what do you guys think of EVPs?
What's an EVP?
EVP is a electronic voice phenomenon.
Huh. It's an electronic voice phenomenon. I think there actually is some strange stuff that goes on with recordings I remember hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A few of them, like when I listened back from the archives when I used to work on the community radio station, CKLN in Toronto.
Right.
I remember listening to some of the archives. There'd be some strange, you know, stuff that I didn't remember hearing live on the show, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Coast to Coast did a lot of stuff on that when Art Bell was hosting the show. About EVPs. Yeah. Yeah, where you can take a good tape recorder and a good mic and go out into a cemetery or an old prison and pick up something and play it back. And some of it is really strange. A lot of them were children.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were children. It was just scary. It was really remarkable.
Well, mm-hmm. That show as well is mainstream media, right?
I would have to, for one, myself, I've never witnessed any paranormal activity involving the dead or the ghosts or anything like that. So I would have to see it firsthand. When I see these ghost shows or the ghost hunters, I mean, I'm shaking my head laughing because I never seem to find anything. And I'm really a skeptic when it comes to that stuff. It's the same with you, like aliens. I'm a skeptic on ghosts and aliens because unless I see it myself, you're going to have a hard time convincing me because I need proof. And pictures and photographs are easily doctored. So is video nowadays. So
would
I really got to
see. Would you take the word of a former Canadian defense minister?
Nope.
All right.
Definitely not.
Just checking.
What's his name again? We covered him the other...
Paul Hellyer.
Yeah.
We covered him, I think, a couple of weeks ago on the show and some of his shady connections.
Yeah,
and
he was at that big UFO conference a few months ago, right? And his speech went viral, the one they had, Disclosure, the UFO Disclosure one.
But that's proof, right?
I don't know. How is it proof? I mean,
it's not proof, but it's just shows that he's one of the most famous names or one of the most trusted names, I guess, in that field of what's it, you know, the paranormal exopolitics UFO phenomena.
Well, yeah, isn't there a museum in the States where you can go see I don't know if it's open to the public, a museum where there's supposed to be some spacecraft parts in a showcase or something?
Huh.
Somewhere?
Maybe like a Roswell museum. They probably got one there.
Maybe.
New Mexico, okay. Because...
I don't know if that's open to the...
You know, who knows what they got hidden in terms of, you know, UFO or space debris and stuff. Remember there's that one in Russia, that picture with that flying saucer that's stuck in the ground? Have you seen that picture?
Yeah,
like, part of that picture seems like it's like there's always possible it could just be a fake, like a Photoshop thing, you know, before Photoshop was invented. But part of it seems like it's like too big to set up, you know, a fake, too big to fake.
Yeah. Weren't the Nazis like back in World War II, they were developing this kind of technology?
Yeah, flying discs, exactly.
Yeah, they were actually flying them. Mm-hmm. And the I think some of the American fighter pilots have come across these objects. And they're basically calling them, you know, UFOs. But indeed, they were built by the Nazis here in World War II.
Oh, Toronto City Hall is shaped like a UFO.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's actually from a bird's eye view. It's a giant eye, too.
Oh. Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
Looking directly down into the all-seeing eye.
Yeah, because I remember when I was a kid going to City Hall before it was completed and going up to the top and taking a look out in the observer when you observe the, you know, look out the window, stuff like that. We were there at that. It was kind of like a school trip, 1965. I remember that.
And you know where it all ties together. City Hall was in the movie, the Resident Evil one, as the head of Umbrella Corp, that where they unleash the virus that creates the zombies.
Okay. So that's why a lot of strange things are going on at City Hall.
When they call Toronto Raccoon City in that movie.
Yeah. Now we're putting all the pieces together now.
Yeah, that's where you see it's all connected. Yeah.
All connected. There you go.
Tiny pieces, yeah.
I think a lot of the alternative media that mixes, you know, the 1 minute they're interviewing somebody credible on Agenda 21 or an architect, an engineer on 9/11 Truth or something like this, things that you can, evidence that you can physically go to and discern for yourself and make your own call. But then then next thing you know, the next hour they're taking callers on somebody's UFO or ghost stories and you get this a lot on Coast to Coast. That's part of what made them popular. But, you're mixing real information with a bunch of, you know, theories and speculation. Yeah. And it does a lot to just muddy the waters.
Yeah. But I heard through the grapevine that one of the hosts of the show, not George Nori, but John B. Wells.
Yeah, that's maybe the guy that they apparently just removed, right? They just
removed,
because he's getting too popular.
Because he's getting too popular and he was getting too truthful.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was fired or let go.
Yeah.
And wasn't Art Bell coming back to the show?
No, what Art Bell was doing was he was having his own show on satellite radio, and that he requested that he be allowed to put his archives up for free online, and that they fired him or something. They canceled his show because he wanted to have it for free archives. And then that's the scam with satellite radio is a good thing, I guess, because it gives you freedom. Like, it's not an FCC controlled thing, but it's a, doesn't have free archives like how the radio does, I guess.
Yeah.
Or Ryan Talk does, you know.
Yeah, so I listened to his show for quite a number of years, back in the, like 20 years ago anyways. And, he had a lot of good, stuff there. Plus, he had a lot of, things on ghosts and all this kind of stuff. And
Art Bell was doing it even before George Nori?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of that stuff. Even when 9/11 came around, he didn't actually believe the official story. He was like on the fence post type of thing.
Oh.
Right?
Because he would have these archive shows from 1999 or 2001. Different years every week would be a different year rebroadcast.
Yeah, plus he was suffering from back problems, too, as well. So a lot of times he couldn't do the show because of his health. So he had to bring in, a couple other people to fill in a little bit, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how George Nori started, right? He was a fill-in guy, and then he took over.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then that's, I guess that's the scary part, is that if this John B. Wells guy was filling in, and then if the thought he could take over, that could have sent Nori against him, and then he's got to get fired. So, you know.
Yeah.
But who know? I don't even know this John B. Wells guy. But, you know, hopefully he does something, you know, and what's it, Art Bell is even talking about doing his own internet show, I guess, now.
Yeah.
For free anyway. So it's like, you know, these guys can keep on going, but it's on to the audience in that sense, is like, who you're going to listen to, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And who you're going to believe, yeah. Because you can still listen to these guys and not believe them. You just figure out what kind of propaganda they're putting out.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's what people could be saying they're doing with us. But, you know, it's like, in that sense, then they got to, you know, put a comment in the video, or, you know, or in the link to the archive, or, you know, somehow could get in contact with us if they got they think we're a propaganda thing or out here to spread lies. Because what we're trying to do is, you know, spread the truth, or, you know, as truth seekers, you know, we're trying to present what we found in research, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't have all the answers, right?
No.
No. That's not having all the answers is a good thing, because we can work and research and strive to get better and to become to mature in what we do. And I think, since I've known you, Daniel, we've come a long way and stuff like that, and we've gotten better at what we do, and the research and the materials that we've got and everything like that has gotten better. And you know, there have been times where we say, what are we doing this for? I could be doing something else. I could be, you know, being part of the rest of the population, just go in here, buy something here, go have a bite to here over there somewhere. But we stuck to our guns and we upped our game, and that's why we're doing the show, because we upped our game. And and it's for me to do the show is a great pleasure and an honor, and you know, and there's nothing to like doing this kind of thing, and I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, exactly. So that, in that sense, the that's where you see the title of the show is sort of a joke.
yeah,
you're happy. Yeah. We're not necessarily angry, but
no, just a little ticked off. That's all. Yeah. But yeah.
Exactly. And so we're going to protect the trees and protect the dams.
Yes, right. Yeah. That's what we should do. And, you know, if you see anything on the ground, any garbage, if you find something on that you drop, pick it up. You know, it's not that it's putting garbage on the ground is going to hurt the environment. It just makes the area look messy. That's all. Just pick up after yourself.
Made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building.
And we should just do what the environmentalists say and ban all energy, fossil fuels, and all heating supplies, and we can just all freeze to death in our homes.
Because
we have to stop the global warming. So we have to freeze to death in the winter to stop it.
Yes.
Okay. It all makes sense now.
We'll just build a fire in the middle of the living room.
Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Angry Beaver Radio on OrionTalkRadio.com.
How dare you? How dare you?
They made that decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse.
Real Alternative Radio. We are OrionTalkRadio.com.
Orion News Talk exists because the corporate news media has failed us miserably.
Our media has been controlled for decades.
In 1917, J.P. Morgan bought up or infiltrated the top 25 newspapers, and news control became reality. The CIA took over in the 1950s with Operation Mockingbird, recruiting over 400 journalists and news people, including Walter Lippmann, Edward R. Murrow, and Walter Cronkite. And today's top media figures are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, a group that at best is a think tank for foreign intervention, and at worst a proponent for the New World Order. The number one rule in journalism is to always follow the truth. The number two rule is no entangling alliances that prevents you from following rule number one. So why then are corporate media members part of the CFR? And now today, six corporations control our major media, which is why more people are turning to us. So keep listening and tell a friend. Orion News Talk, news and views beyond the mainstream media.
USA News, I'm Sean Scott Ferguson. President Obama vowed Friday to do everything in his power to help the middle class with or without Congress, The Hill reports. Speaking to House Democrats attending their annual Issues Conference on Maryland's Eastern Shore, the president doubled down on his State of the Union promise to use his executive authority at every turn to advance policies benefiting working people. Authorities expect to complete the autopsy Friday of a Colorado woman who went missing in Texas last month after traveling the world with her husband. Leanne Hecht Bearden had recently returned to the United States after 22 months crisscrossing the globe with her husband, Josh Bearden. Police said Thursday her life may have ended in the woods near a home in central Texas. Actor Ralph Waite, best known for playing John Walton Sr., Papa Walton, in the long-running TV show The Waltons, has died at the age of 85. Waite was an ordained Presbyterian minister, social worker, and former Marine turned actor. Ralph Waite dead at 85. This is IRN USA News.
Today, most people are more likely to get a pay cut than a cost of living raise. But I have good news for you. You can build your own golden parachute. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, and I think you'll find that the three-step plan home business system is a great solution to money worries. With a three-step plan home business, you can add to your income in your spare time. Many build their businesses into a full-time income that earns more than a regular job. That's a pretty good financial backup plan, don't you think? After all these years of hearing about us, you know that we have helped a lot of people earn extra money. We could help you too. The three-step plan home business system is better than a parachute because we'll never leave you out there hanging. We'll train you and show you how to use the telephone and email to make money from home. Don't just worry about money. Do something about it. To find out how you could start making more money working from home, go to 3stepusa.com or call 800-480-2102.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now is needed due to worldwide deficiencies and to protect the entire body from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Only at hempusa.org.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com is a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
Hey, this is Ken from the Information Nation. Join me every Sunday night from 9 to 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 to 10 Central Time, live right here on Orion Talk Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio and OrionTalkRadio.com. Now, I have here from OccupyCorporatism.com. Bloomberg will assist the UN in creation of Agenda 21 megacities. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been named UN envoy on cities and climate change to assist Ban Ki-moon, General Secretary to the UN, in motivating world leaders to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in large cities. Bloomberg said mayors don't have time to debate politics. They have to deliver results, and mayors around the world are increasingly recognize the threats climate change poses to our cities. Cities account today for 70% of the world's carbon emissions and more than three-quarters of the world's energy use, and so the action that they take today to confront climate change really will have a global impact. So, yes, thank you, Mayor Bloomberg and Ban Ki-moon, for trying to cram us into 200-square-foot sustainable prison cells to live in, to save the planet from the global warming that has sent us into a deep freeze, into a polar vortex after polar vortex. God, what the hell are these people on?
Yeah.
Anyways, you can find out that that's not all.
Of course, global warming. Yeah.
Well, that's not all the article. Folks can go check out the full article at OccupyCorporatism.com. It's called Bloomberg Will Assist UN in Creation of Agenda 21 Megacities. And you can check out the article over there. It was published on February the 6th, 2014.
These former mayors are getting into globalism. What I realized when I saw the David Miller clip, where this guy is the former mayor of Toronto. This guy right before Rob Ford was David Miller, is now working for the World Wildlife Fund and selling sweaters for global warming.
Right. Now, between those two times, he left and stopped being mayor of Toronto, and he went to go work for the, I believe it was at the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund.
He was World Bank, I think.
World Bank, right.
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, Daniel and Michael and Mark, if you remember him showing his ugly face, his ugly globalist Canadian traitor face, he's actually American, down at Occupy Toronto, you know, rallying against the 1%. Meanwhile, he's just, you know, taking a break from his job at the World Bank.
Yeah.
What a scumbag. I mean, it's just so over the top. So we've got globalist
Occupy
mayors here,
what?
Too. Yeah. Yeah, Occupy what? Just look up Occupy what, and you'll see a glimpse of the Toronto Occupy
scene. Classic clips. I was actually watching those the other day, some classic Occupy what. I was watching the one with the guy. Remember, there's a guy, man down at Occupy Toronto, and they cart an older guy that had fallen, and the guys that cart him off have got their the cross is made out of red duct tape, like in the medical.
Medics are using duct tape to mark that they're a medic, you know. It's written in crayon across the back of their shirt.
Well, that's what they do. They tape everybody up, you know.
It's
they go home.
Wrong. You spell medic right.
Wow. Yeah.
That's why it was a ridiculous Occupy scene, and then and it's actually crazy when you actually look at like the supporters of it are like the top globalist, like, you know, foundations and stuff is like how do they not have a Red Cross, you know?
You notice how during, you know, leading up to the eviction of Occupy Toronto, they were advocating that people who were going to passively resist wear a certain color armband, and, you know, moderately resist wear a different color armband, and anyone that wanted to physically resist and confront the police to wear another color armband.
Yeah, this is plans to be arrested during the eviction. Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me of Nazi Germany and the armband. That's what it reminded me of. And I told these people, like, you're being indoctrinated into this brainwashing camp. This isn't a protest. This has been hijacked and steered from the start.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of them did see it, and the ones that are still arguing are the facilitators that are paid to do this. You know, a lot of these facilitators are career activists who actually make a living pretending to be an activist.
Yeah, yeah, they're the ones that that have hotel rooms, right?
Yeah, staying at the Sheridan.
Yeah.
Or staying down at the Sheridan Hotel.
And wasn't Lawrence down there at one of those little get-togethers they were having?
Yes, and I was there as well, filming it, along with Yuri, and there was a few other people there.
Yeah, that's good video evidence to have.
Yeah, so we filmed it. We infiltrated an Occupy Toronto at some ritzy bar downtown and photographed of, like, where did all the money go?
It was more like a grungy bar. It's the back room.
Yeah.
And this is the only unfortunate – it was an awesome confrontation. The unfortunate part is that the main facilitators had, like, all conveniently taken that week off or, like, gone on vacation, one of their, you know, funded trips or whatever.
Yeah, because all the money disappeared, and he went to go find out, well, what happened to all the money? Where did it go? And there's no accountability, and the money's all gone, and what do you mean? And it was an interesting confrontation, and I tell you, these people were not protesters, not activists, and they were afraid of people like Lauren and others, independent free thinkers who question things and don't just swallow any groupthink collectivist mentality garbage that's shoveled at them.
I know Lawrence, stated some things to the gang there, but what did he actually, or you actually, get out of it? Any affirmative things? Anything that you can really go on?
That the money disappeared and there's no accountability as to where all the donation money went,
yeah,
or as to where all of it all came from.
The confrontation proved that the whole thing was a scam.
Yeah.
But nothing else was gotten out of it?
No, because
it's like a deflection thing when the actual facilitators aren't there, but there are people there running the meeting that aren't the actual facilitators. They're just like Occupy supporters.
So okay, just like Obama without a teleprompter. Okay, I understand that.
Yeah. Metaphor, exactly.
Okay.
Now, the other one, you're talking about the group thing. That the only one I wanted to bring up is the whole gay Olympic thing. Is the
gay Olympics?
Yeah. These it's like, since when is your sexuality part of the Olympics anyways? One. Because it's supposed to be about sport, you know, sport for all. So it shouldn't matter if you're what sex you are. And then the other one is that in Russia, if there is no law against homosexuality, then, what really are these global protests going on? You know, all these protesters, activists with rainbow flags and stuff, and there actually is no law against homosexuality in Russia. This is all, you know, this is a staged thing.
No, Russia's come out against promoting sexuality towards young people.
Yeah, that's what the law is. It's a propaganda law for young people.
And it's not exclusive to homosexual activity. It also includes any sexual activity. Is what we do. We here in the West, we teach the children before they even hit puberty all about anal sex and oral sex and homosexuality and transgendered and all this crap before they've even thought about, you know, sex is the last thing on their mind. So we're basically propagandizing these children, robbing them of their innocence, and you know, putting ideas into their head. I mean, why not just let the kids be? Maybe when they hit puberty, their parents can talk to them about how the birds and the bees work. And why don't we leave the state out of it? Because the state is pushing pedophilia-type propaganda to the children. Because any sexualizing the children at that young an age, regardless of whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, is crossing the line in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, that's one of the scariest agendas of the New World Order.
Yeah, just like when I was a kid, like 13 or 14 or whatever, we had like sex education. That was part of our little curriculum at that time, back in the mid-60s or whatever. We did that. You know, we did that, and we talked about, about all your whole body and how it works and all that kind of stuff, to gear us up for when we do get older and end up having children, so we know, at least we know what we're doing. But nowadays, they're trying to make a 2-year or 3-year old learn all that kind of stuff before they even have a chance to be babies and grow up to be children.
Yeah, they can't even read or do math. They don't know history or geography, so they don't know much about the world, but they know that, hey, if they feel like, if their little Johnny wants to use the girls' bathroom today, and because he feels like a girl, then he can go do it because there's nothing wrong with little Johnny being a girl. why does little Johnny even, who's putting, why are they putting these ideas into five-year-olds' heads? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is bad what they're expecting, like, you know, little kids to know if they're gay or to say if they're gay or straight. It's like, what is it? Yeah, if a kid, you know, hasn't even gone through puberty, this is getting into a crazy society.
Well, the agenda behind all of this is not tolerance, which is the guise that they go under. They go under the guise of, well, one of the kids may have a transgendered parents or two moms or two dads, and this, you know, we need to normalize the other kids so they don't make fun of that one kid. But, I mean, the idea is not about gay rights or any of this stuff. It's about normalizing pedophilia, and they even want to make pedophilia as a sexual orientation. That's what this is about, and that's where this is heading. They want to make pedophiles having a sexual orientation as being that, and that they have rights.
Yeah, and people might be thinking this is, you know, we're talking about something that's really, you know, that we're really out there with this, but this is not, because their whole explanation for the homosexuality is that if you're born with it, well, then if you're born with that, then what if? In the static again, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. Recap that if you can, Daniel. I removed them.
Yeah, I was saying that, like, the whole thing with
Well, I mean, basically, they're sexualizing the children at a young age at school, not just to warp them in a certain way or to get them to accept gay or trans. It's really to push pedophilia and get pedophilia accepted. I study propaganda. I study it, and that's where I'm seeing this road head down. It's not about gay rights. And honestly, to any, you know, gay people out there who may be listening, I have no problem with what they do. It's their business, none of my business, what anyone does in their bedroom, whether they're gay, straight, or whatever. The minute you hurt a minor or a young offender or something, well, then it's a problem. Then you're committing a crime. And the point is they're using the gay rights community, the globalists are, the elite are, to implement this agenda into the school system under the guise of tolerance. You know, and really teaching five-year-olds about sex, whether it's, you know, with heterosexual or homosexual, it is, to me, on the borderline of pedophilia.
Yeah, and so in that sense, the people that would actually do their research on what the law is, what they say the anti-gay law is in Russia, then, you know, they might reconsider what their actual, you know, protest is, or, you know, how much anger they're putting towards Russia. Because really, people can be discriminated against for being, you know, if they're going to be discriminated against for being gay in any country, you know, regardless of what propaganda laws there are for the youth. So it's like, it's actually a ridiculous thing to be having as an Olympic event. It's like, if kids are going to be watching the Olympics, they should just be allowed to watch Olympics and think of sports. You know, they shouldn't be thinking about, you know, people having, you know, like sexual relations with the same sex or otherwise. You know, that shouldn't be an Olympic issue, basically, I think. But the Olympics are like the most globalist thing there is, I guess.
Well, since we're on the Olympics, we've got here, what are the Olympic medals made of? And the question, what are they made of? Answer, the last Olympic gold medal that was actually made from gold was awarded in 1912. So if Olympic gold, so if Olympic gold medals aren't gold, then what are they? The specific composition and its design of the Olympic medals is determined by a host city's organizing committee. However, certain standards must be maintained. Gold and silver medals are 92.5% silver. So the gold medal is 92.5% silver. Gold medals must be plated with at least 6 grams of gold. So, you know, 4 years of training and and if you win gold, you might get 6 grams of gold wrapped in 92.5% silver.
Guess what? Patrick Chan, the Canadian Olympic figure skater, he had two gold medals, but not two silver medals around his neck. But I guess they ran out of gold, I guess.
Well,
that's what happened.
If the gold is plated silver medal, And then I guess there is a value to it in that it's like an Olympic thing, or they would only like print a few of them, right? Or they'd only make so many hundred of them because there are only so many hundred events or whatever. So in that sense, they could have a value to them, but then that's not the actual, that's not like a gold value. Yeah, it's not like a, not even a piece of gold.
Yeah. But I think that whether it's real or fake gold or whatever you want to call it, it's just the idea that I won a gold medal. I came in first. That's all that really matters, you know, to them. They don't, I don't
think
that.
Well, they had better hope for a sponsorship deal because the prize money combined with selling their medal for scrap value is nothing. It's next to nothing. So what do you think the guy who got eighth place, what do you think he's making? Nothing. He got no sponsorship. He got no prize money. He got no medal. Had trained 4 years to do it. It's a bit of a joke, really.
So yeah, and it's also a joke that they'd have it in like a beach resort too, and then have to cart snow and stuff, create their own ski hills, and actually, you know, and because that was a ridiculous thing when they had the Winter Olympics, the last one in Vancouver, just because Vancouver isn't a snow place either; it's like a rain city, you know. Yeah. It's like a tropical city more than of like any other in Canada. Same with like Sochi in Russia, I guess. And then they're spending Canada. They spent, you know, so many billions, which is crazy. And then in Russia, they spent, you know, they estimate it could have been over 60 billion just on an Olympic,
so
like a 2 week event.
Do these Olympic athletes actually eat exclusively only McDonald's since, you know, McDonald's sponsors the Olympics? Do the athletes only eat McDonald's? I doubt it.
I doubt it too, yeah. I think that whatever the money they make, they give a portion of it to the Olympics. But I doubt if the athletes would actually eat the food.
Yeah, but they could have a bit of pink slime, a bit of fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Bit of silly putty, a bit of silly putty in the McNuggets.
Anti-foaming agent.
Silicone.
Silicone dioxide.
Arsenic.
Arsenic.
Ammonia. It's great.
Yeah,
I mean, it's breakfast of champions, the Olympic, McChicken burger.
I told one of the managers, she's young, very beautiful and all that, and I said, do you actually think, because I had to put up the Olympic, McDonald's Olympic flag, because they sponsored the Olympics, I had to put that up, you know, and I'm thinking, and I said to her, do you think the athletes actually eat this food? She looks at me and says, probably not, you know, this type of thing, so. I do a lot of talking. I'm lucky I'm still there, you know, this type of thing. So, because they got all the TVs on the Olympics.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
All Olympics, all the time.
Exactly. Then after that,
so
many events. TV24. Yeah. But at least the Olympics have a good theme. About all countries getting together, putting away all their differences for a few days and coming in without fighting. I think that's probably the best part of it.
Yeah, that should be the theme. Exactly. That is the scam of this Olympics, is that the countries, a bunch of the Western ones, you know, Canada, America, all these, Western ones are trying to make it seem like the Russia is like a, is an anti-gay place, when really, you know, they wouldn't be hosting the Olympics if they didn't believe in the the Olympic Charter thing, right? They wouldn't have been selected, so.
Exactly.
So in that sense, the whole thing is a scam, and it has to do with the Cold War, is my guess. You know, that they still want to revive Russia as the enemy.
Yeah.
The West. Even though right now it's not the Cold War because they're communists, but it's actually because they're like a more successful economy than what Canada or America is going to be.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, look at the last Olympics here in Vancouver. We had all those protests. We had the Black Bloc protesters running around, the Black Bloc anarchists running around smashing things and causing all kind of pandemonia. And don't tell me that group isn't controlled. And it's just completely absurd, these phony activist groups. I mean, the Black Bloc anarchists are completely opposite of anything anarchy and small government. I mean, they're really a bunch of Bolsheviks, a bunch of communists. I mean, how could you be a communist anarchist or a Bolshevik anarchist? It doesn't even make sense. It's an oxymoron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No government, no central control, yet the Canadian anarchists are really a bunch of, I don't know what you call them, but they're
that
not.
That is the control part, and then that is the part where they're trying to recreate a revolution like the Russian one, like the Bolsheviks did. Because the Bolshevik one, there is anarchy elements in it where they're, like, looting stuff, attacking rich people, and destroying stuff, right? And then they recreate the government after they've destroyed the state or smashed the state. They can recreate the government, and then this is the definitely controlled opposition part, or if these facilitators or whatever think that they can become the new government, you know, take over,
yeah.
become what they destroyed. And that is what happened, like, in the part of the Russian Revolution, right? It's like
well, I mean, these phony Black Bloc leaders are nothing but a bunch of paid shills, and then you've got their, you know, their hoodwinked followers that think they're going to be the new leaders and save the day. And it's just a big joke because there's nothing anarchist about them, you know, in terms of no government. It's all about being a Bolshevik, which is completely opposite. And it really differs from, like, I see some of these Americans who are, you know, seem to be more libertarian or even anarchist. And they seem to get along great, but the Canadian anarchists are nothing but communists and Bolshevik and Marxists. Have nothing to do with small government.
I don't know more, and colonialism ain't fashionable.
They're a government within themselves. Anyways, it's the end of the show.
Yes, it is the end of the show, and thanks for tuning in, folks. Tune in next week. March the 1st, we're supposed to be joined by the one and only Vinny Eastwood from New Zealand, so that should be interesting.
It is.
Keep cool.
Anyways, be safe, everybody.
Stop global warming, go get a snow plow, get a snow blower, do your part, and
buy a sweater.
Yeah, buy some salt, too. You're going to need it.
After work, I'm so tired, I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you, years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes, I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs, and a better mood and more drive in your romantic life.
Really? I want to try Iodine Now. I want to feel good again.
It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You will be amazed. I want you out of the hospital, off of pharmaceuticals, and to be your own doctor.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you, and you're out of shape, and I care.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Or visit microplantpowder.com.
At Orion Talk Radio, we're constantly working hard on your behalf. But the fight for freedom could not be fought without you. So we want to hear what you have to say.